Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. This is Dave Charest, content manager here at Constant Contact. And it's springtime, and what better time than spring to try new things? And, of course, that includes new social media platforms. So maybe it's Pinterest, Instagram, or Google+. Whatever it is, we're going to be talking about some new ideas for trying some new social platforms or adding some new things to the mix for your marketing. I am drinking a Blue Moon Agave Nectar Ale, which is
really, nice.
Really, really delicious.
Sounds very fancy.
Who else is with me here today?
I'm Danielle, and I'm the community manager here at Constant Contact, and I'm drinking a Corona.
I'm Josh Mendelson, and I am drinking a Stone Levitation Ale. San Diego's finest.
Stone levitation. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm Eric Ayotte. I head up the social media team here, and I am drinking a Midas Touch, handcrafted ancient ale, apparently.
It's a great story behind
really
that.
Really old.
They found the recipe in a tomb.
Oh, no
true
way.
Story.
It's
yeah.
pretty good.
Wow.
I'm Azure Collier. I'm a social media education developer, and I'm drinking a Woodchuck.
I'm Kristen Curtis, social media specialist, and I am drinking water out of a Constant Contact cup.
Wow.
You daring lady.
At least it's more fun than just water.
Is it? Is it really?
Running randomly into my mouth.
That's our new tagline.
Yeah.
Constant Contact, more fun than just water.
Anyway, as I mentioned, it's springtime, and we've been kind of running on this theme of, hey, it's time to try some new things in spring, right? We recently did a chat on Facebook. Danielle,
mm-hmm.
tell us a little bit about how that went.
It went really well. We got a lot of different people who came and asked questions about starting off on news channels, or they were telling us about the channels that they've started using. A lot of questions about what kind of content on Facebook, how to get started on Pinterest and Google+. So we had a lot of good engagement, and we had a solution provider join us too, and he gave a lot of great information, Social Ribbit.
Are there any social platforms that, or new platforms, and when I say new, I'm going to say things that we don't normally talk about, like not the Pinterest, the Instagram, and Google+, but is there anything you guys have seen recently that's caught your eye that looks like it could be, has some staying power, I guess?
I mean, I think Vine is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the application of it is, because it's hard. You know, I think one of the things that is nice about Facebook and, you know, is really nice about Instagram is it's, you know, like creating content isn't difficult. You don't have to be, you know, an artist to do it. And I think with Vine, it quickly got, you know, within a week, it got past people showing, like, their beer getting less empty. And yes, I... but I think now there are some people doing really cool things on Vine.
Yeah.
But to make cool stuff takes a lot of effort, even for six seconds.
I think
we saw that with the videos
you
guys have done.
You need to know what the hell you're doing. I mean, I've seen some pretty cool stuff, like people doing, like, I don't know, like...
Adam Goldberg.
He makes, like, he's making, like, a movie or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, you put all that together, it's going to be, like, a whole two-hour film or something. But, like, even people doing things with, like, animations.
Yeah, Pepsi has done some amazing stuff.
You have to know some, like, real, like, stop-motion photography. You got to know stuff, like, about that to, like, really pull off some cool stuff. But it doesn't mean, like, somebody with a creative, you know, bent to their business couldn't go in there and do something cool with it. But any others besides Vine? I feel like that's...
I tried a couple business application ones. What were they? Huron Biz and Brewster.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like either of
Brewster.
Those.
Brewster. Yeah.
Well, honestly, it seemed like the Huron Biz one was about people traveling and trying to find other people to have not business relationships with.
Interesting.
A casual encounter,
yeah.
perhaps?
Yeah,
okay.
I had to get rid of that pretty much. Right away. I was like, ooh, no. I don't know. I can't really think of anything else that a new platform. And you know what's funny is that you know, we're right on the heels of coming off of South by Southwest, and that was actually one of the observations I had
mm-hmm.
about South by Southwest this year, is that there wasn't that one app, or you know, there wasn't someone trying to create the new Twitter down there. I think in a way the industry has been like evolved a bit and matured, and I said, okay, we got a bunch of platforms.
Yeah.
We have lots of ways to make content, and we're creating a lot of data all over the place. How do we actually, at least itself by what I found, was that what a lot of the new technology was trying to do was take all this data
mm-hmm.
and then reconfigure it in a way that's actually useful to humans
right.
and not just another
mm-hmm.
social platform just
yeah.
to be social.
So I kind of feel like, right, the new social platforms now, like I feel like we've kind of hit the piece of it where we've got all that we need. There's really nothing new that we can add to them. It's more or less really kind of...
Never say never, Dave.
Well, it's true. But I'm just saying, like, but right now it feels like we're at that point where anything that's coming out right now is going to be for, like, a niche. Like, it's going to be, like, a certain type of people are going to be on this platform as opposed to being on Facebook or opposed to being on Google Plus, right?
Yeah, and we're talking about general platforms, too. There's,
yeah.
There's lots of, you know, niche or, like, industry-specific
yeah.
communities that people get involved in. What's that one for fashion? Polyvore is one. I'm trying to think of some others, but there are some definitely some niche communities that are focused on, like, certain types of interests
yeah.
that can be valuable for... A business
can definitely
too.
Be valuable if you're in that
if you're in that
area.
Space.
Yeah.
So I would encourage folks to, you know, look beyond you know, just the Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, because those are general, but there again there could be some niche ones that are important.
What was that one that you liked for a while in the beginning of the year? It was with images and creating pictures with them, like it was like a check-in / Instagram type.
Oh, you know, that was an app. It was called I think you pronounce it Bazart. B-A-Z-A-A-R-T. Yeah, but it was actually kind of cool. You use it for Pinterest, and what it is that it takes your pins and allows you to reconfigure them to make collages. And that was kind of cool, so I would check that out.
So I think, you know, you just sort of touched on something interesting, which is I think a lot of the innovations aren't platforms now. They're things that plug into existing platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I think... You know, there's certainly a fair amount of people who use Instagram natively, for example. But I would guess that most people, like, use Instagram because they see Instagram photos on Facebook or on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the Instagram app a lot, but I think most people are interacting. If I post something to Instagram, they'll interact
on
with it on
Facebook, right.
And I think, you know, that's one of the things that has stabilized, I think. And I think it's a little bit of where Google Plus is lagging is, you know, The best apps are easily integrated with the platforms that people use. They're not as desperate to create their own platform anymore.
I think the other things that are out there are actually new platforms that are based on old platforms. So I've seen like apps that look like your Instagram feed that does something similar, but it's a different, you know, like there's one I actually just found that it's basically like an eBay or a Craigslist, but it's set up like Instagram, so you scroll through the same way. If you click on the picture, you see a bunch of pictures. And I've seen a lot of different new apps out there that just basically take the technology and then use it the way they want to use it.
It's funny you should mention that because I've read a lot recently about the Pinterestification of a lot of different apps and how basically
wow.
they're taking... Yeah.
Yeah,
say that three times fast. How basically a lot of platforms are taking that sort of layout and that sort of aesthetic and layering it over their or under their technology.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, you know, we're talking about these things. So, I mean, really, when you think about it, obviously, you know, from a small business's perspective, or even our perspectives, like, I mean, we've got a lot going on. There's a lot of things to juggle. You know, how much time should we devote to trying out these new platforms?
Well, I think you have to be really smart or, you know, about which one you try. Don't try all of them at once.
Imagine that's all you said. You have to be
really,
really smart.
Smart.
Thank you, Anne. Good night.
Well, that helps in a lot of different areas. But say, you know, as a business, you're just on Facebook or you're on Facebook and Twitter. Take one of these. You know, don't try Google Plus, you know, Vine and Pinterest
yeah.
and Instagram all at once. Take
right.
one of them. I would say start off with, you know, no more than 2 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of play around with it. And the other thing, too, is that if you're using this for your business, I would say make sure that you try it out just as a consumer first so you kind of understand how the platform works. And try
yeah.
it out, you know, try out all these apps just as a regular old person and not
yeah,
a, not
using
a,
it.
Yeah,
right.
use as a user.
Because that's actually a great point to bring up because that's the thing that really helps you understand, like, how you can use it for marketing later because
mm-hmm.
it's really based on, like, because, like, people on Facebook are different from people on Twitter, even though there are many of the same people, but they use them differently, and they use them for different reasons, and if you try to do something on one place that is really more fitting for another place, like, you can kind of dig yourself a hole by doing
yeah.
that.
The other thing that allows you to do, I actually talked to the people that I work with about this, is that it allows you to start to actually like the platform.
Like
RDDs
with?
And that kind of people.
Like,
and
I,
you know, and if you actually use it as yourself without
mm-hmm.
your business presence, you start to actually like it, which means you'll then find time to do it. So
right.
that's the other thing
right.
that's really great about taking time for you to do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean,
yeah.
I think one of the things we've seen over the last few years is you know, a lot of businesses of all sizes getting into social because they think they have to, not because they want to. And
right.
it never goes well.
Right.
And they're not consistent. They're not passionate about it. They're not, you know, if you don't like it and your job is marketing for your company, don't do it. Like, I don't think, I don't think you have to be on all these networks.
No.
And, you know, maybe at some point you do, or maybe you need to make sure your information is accurate there if there's things that exist that you didn't create. But if you don't want to do it, don't do it. It's better to not do it at all than it is to do it really, really poorly.
I actually asked this question on our Facebook page within the last week, I think, if people feel like they're forced to be on social media or that they actually enjoy it. And most people responded with they felt forced at first, but after getting started, they liked being on social media for their business.
This was kind of going to lead me to my next question, too, is like, you know, how does someone determine which platform is the best for their business, right? And I was going to say that, like, I feel like there are certain platforms, and Azure, maybe you'll agree with this, is that there are certain platforms that have different, like, they each have their own personalities, right? And you really want to find the one that best fits how you like to communicate with people. So, like, if you're a creative and visual person, well, then, Pinterest makes sense for you to kind of create boards and do those types of things. If you like to meet new people and like kind of make new connections, you know, Twitter, it might be the best place for you. You know, like, so they each have their own personality. It's really kind of understanding which fits the way you like to communicate.
I think it also is about what fits the way you can or like to create content.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't want to take pictures, then don't get on Instagram.
That's a great point. Don't force yourself
to get on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta take another picture.
Also about what kind of goals you want to get out of your social media marketing anyways. Do you want to just have more awareness? Do you want to reach new customers? Do you want to generate leads or share your content?
Yeah.
So if you decide that first, then you can decide if your platform is a success for you and what works for you that way.
Right, great point. I mean, to your point, like, what's best? Best for what?
Right.
So, you know, for Constant Contact, we have a fabulous Pinterest presence, which Danielle manages. But, you know, we're not generating a whole lot of leads out of Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely generating, you know, referrals back to our website. But for us, Pinterest is much more of a branding play than anything
mm-hmm.
else. Now, if we were a retail company, if we were a fashion brand, if we did anything like that, that Pinterest is actually driving more sales than Twitter or Facebook for those type of brands. So again, it depends on your company, and it depends on, you know, you have to look at the platform for your brand, for your business, and decide, you know, what, or, you know, figure out along the way, you know, what that can do for your brand.
So what are some of the things then that businesses should be looking at in terms of determining if their efforts are a success for them?
Well, I mean, I think you have to look at the platform. Like Pinterest actually just to stick on the Pinterest bent, I guess. They just added some stick a pin in it. if you like it, stick a pin in it.
You did it again.
I did.
You're gonna do it again?
No, okay. I'm done now. But they just added a native analytics platform. That really, and what they did, it was really smart. What they are emphasizing is how Pinterest drives traffic and sales back to your website.
Yeah.
And they're emphasizing, you know, what from your website is getting pinned. So, you know, in that case, you want to look at, you know, sales and web referrals. If you're talking about Instagram, you actually can't, like, put a link on it,
right?
So, you know, you can't trace web referrals. You probably can't do anything as far as sales. But so it's really a brand awareness play. And I think that as far as Instagram goes, I would check out, you know, luxury brands like, I don't know, some fashion ones come to mind, Kate Spade, Burberry, all those ones. They actually do a great job. Starbucks actually is one.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of food brands do a great
food is
job.
Because it's like, pictures of food just make you hungry.
Food porn.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, I want to get that.
And what those brands do right is that they make it about the lifestyle around the brand. They're
which,
not saying...
Which all brands should... I
should
mean, all
do.
Businesses, small businesses too. I mean, that's part of the story that you're telling, right?
Right, yeah. And it's not like, you know, Starbucks does a great job of this. They don't just post pictures of like a giant coffee and drink more coffee and ours and buy it now. What they'll do is have a person, sorry, like relaxing.
Wait, Starbucks is on the phone. I'm going to hire you, quick.
You know, they'll have a picture of someone relaxing in a hammock on the beach, and maybe they have like an iced whatsy-whoozy with them. So it's all about creating that feeling.
Yeah, I think you have to think about what your customers love about you and make your community about that. Not necessarily maybe what the product actually is, but maybe what the product enables you to do or what it says about you.
It's also some cool, I mean, certain things can be indicators too. Like you mentioned Pinterest, like, you know, driving a lot of traffic and things like that. And it's like you could find that, like, let's say, hey, Pinterest is driving a lot of traffic to your website, but then nobody's, like, you're not getting anything from that. You're not, like, maybe you have a, you know, a join my email list form up there or something like that, and nobody's joining your email list. You're not getting any, nobody's buying anything. Like, it can really help you to be like, look, I'm getting all this traffic now, but nothing's happening. I'm not converting any. Nobody's taking the next step. So maybe it's like, oh, you know what? Maybe I need to re-examine my website to find out what tweaks I can make to actually start to convert some of that traffic.
Oh, that's a really interesting point about, you know, as new networks come on board and as, you know, more consumers start to use them, actually taking a look at your owned property, your website, and saying, how do I optimize my website to take advantage of all this social traffic or what have you.
And I think also, you know, you should look at your website anyway, right? If you're creating, think about
it. I never look at it.
No.
You know, but if you're creating engaging, interactive, beautiful content on platforms and not, you know, like, Instagram looks generally good. Like, you can make stuff look really good on Instagram. And if your website isn't up to snuff, like, you're creating brand inconsistency as well. Like, you need to think about if part of your brand is good-looking visual, like, that's got to translate through to your email and to your website, too. Like, I think you want to be consistent in the way you're representing yourself.
Right, and that goes just across even just, you know, not just visual, but just how you interact with people. It's like, you can't go on Twitter and be like, I don't know, act like a pirate and then go on Facebook and be like a professor.
Except don't talk like a pirate.
I'm just picking some shit. Arrgh, I'm on Twitter. And then be like, oh, I love to be on Facebook. Thank you for joining me here today. Really extreme examples.
Or ridiculous.
Talk more about being Twitter. A pirate. Yeah. So back in the day when I was a pirate. Anyway, so, but you get my point. The point is, you really need to think about, you know, how you're representing yourself consistently across all of those platforms.
And I think one other thing that businesses don't think about sometimes is it's okay to repurpose content.
Yeah.
Sometimes people get stuck with, I have to create something different for each platform. You just say things a little bit differently and share it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's following you. That whole group of people is not following you consistently through everything.
And even if they are, there's something about repetition too. I mean, I think this is a trap that I think we just fall. I think it's human nature, right? You want to do something, you feel like you have to create something completely new when you do that. But it's really about, one, there's a couple of things. It's about repetition, right? So somebody that sees something someplace and then they see it again, especially if it's just in a slightly tweaked manner, it helps reinforce that message and reinforce that thing that you're doing, but looks new. But somebody who hasn't seen it is obviously seeing it for the first time. So again, it's new to you. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like you don't always have to be creating. You just need to be looking at new ways to pull out pieces, which is, I mean, Danielle is really great at this, is, you know, looking at a blog post and then creating an image with something that illustrates a point from the blog post, but not the whole blog post. You know what I mean? So there's just great ways you can kind of repurpose that without having to go through all that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, just because you are bored with your brand or you are, you know, you have seen the same picture or blog post 80 times doesn't mean all of your customers or prospects.
I think that's a trap that businesses of all sizes fall into.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Just because you're tired of your message doesn't mean you should change it.
Right. It's probably when you're feeling you should change it is the exact point you shouldn't, because that's when it's just starting to catch on with other people.
That's a great point.
So I don't know, just kind of wrap this up. I think, you know, as we're talking about doing all these things, are there any tips that you guys have for, in terms of like managing your time and kind of really getting a handle on all this stuff? Because that's obviously one of the big issues is where do you find the time? So how do you make it easier?
Well, go ahead, Dan.
I think if you have an editorial calendar, and you don't have to fill in exactly what you're going to do every single day for like the next 2 weeks, but if you generally lay it out and have a big outline, it will help you get to the point that day of what you want to post and what you want to share that day. And just be in the moment, to leave some room to be flexible and just be able to post on the go. That way it feels more genuine, too.
I think the other thing, too, is whatever sort of calendar you use, whether it's electronic or paper or whatever you use, actually penciling in some sort of time to remind yourself to, I don't know, check out Pinterest for 15 minutes or something. Every time you write something down, you actually tend to do it more. So I think that that's probably helpful, too.
Cool. Anybody got anything else there? Cool. Hey, if you guys end up trying some new platform, feel free to comment on this post. Send us a link to your new Pinterest page or your new Pinterest board, or maybe if you've got a new Instagram channel you want people to Follow on my Instagram channel, please. That'll be awesome. Thanks. Anyway, thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Bye-bye now.